Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible.
Is there a better subject than love? I doubt it. It's the big stuff of life, actually. It's the big stuff of God, if you can imagine that. Some people think that love is blind. The truth of fact is that love can see deeper and farther than, in fact, non-love can see. It can really do it. So our subject today is the logic of love. The logic of love. What's so smart? What's so reasonable about love? Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. Let's go with this. Do you think that people are as smart as God? Could you make this? Like, are we wise enough, smart enough to actually produce something like this? Or how about a whole bunch of them so that they can be self-sufficient, grow and replenish and reinvigorate and reproduce? How can you think that a man could do this? It takes a pretty smart God to come up with this, to create. Can you imagine how magnificent, how vast, how smart, how full of wisdom it must be? God must be as the creator of all this. Do you think that you could make all the fishes of the sea? Do you think mankind and scientists could get together and actually come up with an elephant or some facsimile of it? Do you really think so? I don't think so. Could you build a mountain? Could you make a mountain? And yet that's what God did. He scooped out the seas and piled up the mountains and zipped them up with a stream. And could you actually do what God has done and create a world? Do you think man is that smart? Or how about this? Do you think that mankind could do what God does, that he calls all the stars by their name? We have to say, oh God, thou art very great. Oh God, thou art clothed with honor and majesty. And he, like the farmer sows seeds into the field, he sows galaxies into the universe. And yet mankind wants to compete with God. We think we're smarter than God. Now, you probably heard the story. And a scientist representing a group of scientists went to God one day and said, hey, we really don't need you anymore, God. We can clone and we can do all kinds of things by ourselves. We don't need you anymore. And God says, well, let's have a contest. And so they decided they'd have a man-making contest. And so the scientist, sure, I'm up for that. And so the scientists got started to make man. He reached down and grabbed a pile of dirt. God says, hold on, you have to get your own dirt. And of course, that ended the joke and it ended the point is well made, isn't it? Can you imagine the height of arrogance for mankind to think he's smarter than God? That the created is smarter than the creator? Now, this is our problem we're facing right now. We have all kinds of fact-resistant humanities going around. They just don't know the facts. So, in order to get started about the logic of love, we want to talk about the logic of God. So let's look at a couple of scriptures about this. To whom, then, will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? That's the question. Huh? To whom will you liken me? He asked the question. Make me an equal. Compare me, that we may be like. Who can be like me? So God puts up the challenge. And of course, anybody with any common sense knows there's nobody smarter than God. The problem today, though, is that common sense is not very common. In fact, common sense has become controversial. Crazy. Crazy to think we are smarter than God. Let's look at more scripture about him. This God, this wonderful being of God, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, so to speak, meted out the heavens with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains and scales and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? I mean, who gave him these ideas? Or who was his counselor that taught him how to do these kind of things? With whom did he take counsel? Where did he get advice from? Who instructed him? Who taught him in the path of judgment? Who taught him knowledge? Who showed him the way of understanding? See, behold, the nations are a drop in the bucket. They're counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, even the islands are a very little thing. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted him less than nothing and even vanity. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? Do you really think that we're as smart as God? And yet, I meet literally hundreds of people who think they're smarter than God. When the fact is, God puts before us a statement that should jerk some of the slack out of us, because here's what he says. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. The thoughts of God are not like our thoughts. Look what he says. And neither are your ways my ways. We're different. And watch this now. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Whoa. As high as the heavens are above the earth, it's not talking about the clouds above the earth. It's talking about galaxies ad infinitum. That's how much smarter he is. That's how much wiser he is. He really is smart. When you think about it, the greatness of this wonderful being of God, you have to ask the same question that the psalmist asked. So if he's that great and he's that high and he's this creator of all this stuff and we can't make any of it, the question gets asked, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Why do you even bother with mere man? Or what is the son of man that thou visitest him? Why would you bother with us? And through this, he made us a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned us with glory and honor. And you made man to have dominion over the works of the hands, and you put all things under his feet. I mean, you really, in spite of how great you are, you really put man up in a high position. Made in his likeness. Can you imagine that? Created in his image. But you see, to really comprehend the distance between our mental ability and God's mental ability, you'd have to put a measurement on from here to the closest galaxy, which is 200,000 light years away. That's the speed of light. 7.5 times around the world in a second times the number of seconds in 200,000 years just to get to the closest galaxy. He really is wise and he is really smart. And he is logical. Maybe that's why we have a hard time. Maybe he's so logical and we are so illogical that we just don't get it. So what I want to talk about is this logic of God. And I want you to first grasp this. And the first point of our subject today is that the logic of God is in fact the logic of love. God is love. If you were trying to describe God in the shortest way possible, if you were to ascribe to him one adjective, one modifier, one description. It would have to be the word love. So all of this creation that we've just visited moments ago, the logic behind it is rooted in the very heart and the disposition of God, which is love. In fact, this is pretty amazing. That God commendeth his love toward us. Even while we were yet sinners, we were rebels. We had, get out of my life, God. I don't want you. I don't need you. I'm smarter than you. Go away, God. We give him the finger and we, I don't want Jesus Christ. I don't want the Bible. I don't want to know anything about you. But watch this now. Because at that point, the reaction of God is going to be indicative of what he's really like. He didn't sulk. Didn't throw a fit. Didn't have a temper tantrum. Didn't ignore and walk away from you. Remember that scripture, that great scripture. And when he said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if anybody will open the door of his heart, so to speak, I will come in. And we say, God, I don't want you. I don't want you. I don't want you. I want to do my own thing. I don't need you, God. I don't want you, God. Get out of my life, God. And you know what God does? And why does he do this? He just keeps knocking at the door of your heart. What humility that takes. But what really takes is love. That's why when we really understand the logic of God, we have to understand that his logic is the logic of love. That's why this infamous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amazing, amazing, amazing. The logic of God is the logic of love. Take a look at this verse. This is what Jeremiah said. The Lord appeared unto me of old, and this is what he said. Yea, look at this now. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. So watch now, because when love is the condition that drives the action, look at this. Therefore, in other words, because I love you, this is what I'm going to do. With loving kindness, I'm going to draw you. I am going to draw you. Did you know that God wants to be close to you? I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And in fact, look what he does. Look what he said. I love this scripture. So I will again build thee. In other words, you were in good shape. You fall down. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to build you again, O virgin Israel. You've lost your virginity. You've sold out to false gods and committed adultery on me and deserted me and gone the ways of other false gods. But look at what he says. I will build you again because I love you. You will be built. And he calls her a virgin again. One that was obviously not a virgin, but you see, this is how great he is. He can make a virgin again. I know. I had a girl scream at me one time, "Here, God, make me a virgin again." At that time, I didn't know any better. I said, "Nobody can make you pure again." The fact is, according to this scripture, God says it's about Israel. I will build you again. And you shall be built, O virgin Israel. So what we've got so far is the logic of God is the logic of God, of love. Okay? The next thing I want you to catch is this really important idea. switching to the logic of God is the ultimate choice you can make. It's the ultimate logic. It's the smart thing to do. It's the rational thing to do. To switch to the logic of God is the ultimate in rational thinking. Let's take a look at Scripture. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Yep, this is what takes the switch, by the way. Seek him. Call upon him. Especially when he's near. Watch that. And let the wicked forsake his way. Okay, in order to switch to the logic of God, which is the logic of love, you got to stop the old way. You got to forsake the old way. And the unrighteous man, well, let's go back there. And the unrighteous man, let's go back a second here. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts, watch this now. The person who is not right needs to change his thoughts, That's what it means to switch. It's a change of thinking. It's a change of heart too, as we'll see. And then let him return unto the Lord. So switching back to God is the smartest thing anybody can do. Switching back to the logic of God. How do you do that? You have to forsake your ways and forget your thoughts that are the wrong logic. And let him return to the Lord. And God will have mercy upon him and to our God. And he will abundantly pardon. He's going to put everything back together again. Switching back. Watch this now. Switching is really important. Back to the logic of God. Now here's what I want you to catch next. Switching back to the logic of God is switching to the logic of love. Because that's what his logic is. Most people don't understand it. We're going to. So comes the scripture. It says, beloved, if God loved us, we ought also to love one another. We need to switch to his logic. And to switch to the logic of God is to switch to the logic of love. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. It is the logic of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. They've switched. They got it back. And they know what God is like. That's what it takes to switch back. He that loves not, does not know God. For God is love. With all the talk about God, 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 if we don't know love, we don't know God. He that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. So the scripture goes on, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us. Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. He's got a logic that compels him, if you please. It's the logic of love that compels him towards you. He is absolutely crazy about you. Look at this now. That's why he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us. Oh, you know. There was a time when I wish I was an artist. The whole world would not have liked it, but if I could have, I would like to have drawn a picture of the earth, just like you've seen it in a photograph. And I would like to mix paint and pigment and canvas and show the beauty of the sphere of earth in which we live. Planet, home. And then underneath, I would like to write two words. I'd like to write the two words of so loved. I always thought that would make a great picture. So I never did it. But let me tell you something I have thought of doing. I've done it myself, but I'd like you to do it. I'd like you to go to the top drawer of your dresser or wherever it is you keep it. Probably it's in your phone now. And find a picture of you that you don't like. Something was wrong with the camera that day, or the hair was a bad hair day. I don't know what. Find the picture of you that you don't like. You don't want to show it to anybody. And take a pen, and underneath that picture of you, write the words, "So loved." You may not understand why he loves you. But that's only because you don't understand the logic of love. But you will. Let's go back to this verse, beloved. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Switching to the logic of God is switching to the logic of love. Now, no man has seen God at any time. But watch this. But if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is indeed perfected in us. Switching to the logic of God is switching to the logic of love. So it must follow, what I'm about to show you, is that love is the evidence that we have switched to the logic of God. And Jesus put it this way. He said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciple, you're a follower of me, if you have love one to another." The evidence that we have switched to the logic of God is how we treat one another. And then we must understand that the logic of love is philosophically sound. It comes from the philosophy of God. And every one of us has a philosophy. Watch here now. For philosophy is each person's ruling motive, which determines all their values, all their thoughts, all their feelings, all their words, all behaviors and responses and actions. Everything is determined by this primary philosophical point of view. So, watch here now, because this is God's point of view. Everything he looks at, everything he decides, every action he makes is born out of love. Wow. So, I want you to make sure you got this. That love, that's the logic of God, and it is philosophically sound. And you may not see the logic of the logic yet, but that's why we're going to spend these moments together. So let's talk about love. It is an intent. It is the ultimate intention. Most people's ultimate intention is not love. It is selfishness. Everything that I do, every decision I make is all about me, 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 me. It's called narcissism, right? But love is an intent. It is an ultimate intention. So let's see if we can get a little bit of a definition for it. Love is to relentless and caringly pursue the highest possible good for every person in every situation. That's what love is. It doesn't give up. It's relentless. And it's caring. And it pursues the highest possible good for every person in every situation. Now, I want you, please, make sure you catch this. Intent always precedes content. You'll catch it. Watch this now. Intention comes first, and then the action follows. Intention always precedes content. Whether that content is words we speak, or actions we make, or attitudes, it's all based on intent. Here's another way of putting it. Motive always determines conduct. And love is this ultimate intention that controls all my conduct, all my attitudes, all my communication. Because love is the ultimate intention. It is the most core, foundational condition of a person's heart and mind to love. Now, before we get into one of the specifics, I want to conclude with one point here. It is that love and the logic of love demands authenticity, no pretending, no fake love, right? And that's why the scripture says, let love be without dissimulation, without fakery. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Now watch this now, because this is what love is like. Be kindly affectionate, affection one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Boy, I really, God. No fake love. Logic of love demands authenticity. Look at this scripture. Giving no offense in anything. Whoa. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by putting up with, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost. And look at this. By love unfeigned, I mean it's not tricky, it's authentic. There will be no logic to love if the love is not authentic. Here's another scripture. Now the end of the commandment is love or charity out of a pure heart. Here's a translation. The whole point of what we're urging is simply love. Now watch this. Love that is uncontaminated by self-interest and counterfeit faith, a life rather that's wide open to God. No fake love. Another verse, but let's look at one more. Giving no offense in anything, but by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering. Yeah, that's the verse we just went to, isn't it? By the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, no treacherous, no tricky love, just the real thing. That's why the scripture says, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. And so what we've come to now, and I'm going to conclude by, we're going to go into the first of a series on the logic of love. And this one I want to show you for closing today. How the logic of love affects how we speak to other people. So here we go. Let's look at the scripture. From now on, look at this now. Let's not be like children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every idea that floats by trickiness of men, craftiness. People are always out to lay in wait to deceive us. Watch this now. But we speak the truth in love. Here's what we want to talk about. The logic of God is the logic of love. And the logic of love relates to how we speak. If I start talking without loving, I'm already on the wrong track. I'm already going the wrong way. Whether it's to spouse or child or employer or employee, doesn't matter who. The moment we're about to speak to someone, there's a logic to love. And this condition, remember, intent before content. The intention to love must preside so that when we go to speak, our intentions are carried out in our speech. speaking the truth in love. Don't forget this. Intent always precedes content. So if I've got some other agenda other than love when I go to talk to somebody, guess what? The conversation is not going to be loving. But when we understand the logic of God and the logic of love, and we go to speak to someone, then there's a change that takes place. Because the loving intent will always produce love content. Now I'm going to let you think about that for a moment. Can you imagine how the person on the receiving end of your conversation is going to be affected? If before you say a word, they perceive that you care about them. Oh my. You see, evil cannot think properly. It's bias, prejudice. Evil can't think intelligently. It's like bitterness. A bitter person can't think straight because the bitterness drives. See, the intention, the bitter thing is changes the content. And so imagine the power. Imagine the increased receptivity of everyone that you speak to when they know that you have nothing but well-meaning for them. Learning to speak the truth in love. There is a logic, and we're going to get into some of it in much more detail. But let's make sure we got this. Love always controls the tongue. It always controls the tongue. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If love's down here, love's going to come out there. Now, just so you know how big a deal this is, I want you to take a look at some scripture. If any man offend not in the words he speaks, same as a perfect man, and he's also able to control all the rest of his body. Why is that? You know, we even put bits in the horse's mouth so that they may obey us. And we turn them about, their whole body turns because we got the reins, right? I forgot about this. This is what happens when we don't have any control. The tongue is out of control. Look at this now. Behold ships, big ships. And though they are so very great, and they are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a little small helm wherever the governor, the captain, wants it to turn. Now watch this now. Even so, the tongue is a little member. Boy, but it can do great things. In fact, the problem is, behold how great a matter a little fire can kindle. Whoa. It can make big trouble. And the tongue is a fire. It is a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our other body members. It defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell. More trouble comes from this part of the body than almost any other part. Remember the scripture. Power of death and life is in the tongue. Now we have learned to train beasts and dogs and cats. Well, not too many know how to do cats yet, but the things of the sea, we tame, but anything, mankind has tamed a lot of animals, but the tongue can no man tame. The tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, this is sort of an exception because I have a teaching called How to Tame the Untamable Tongue. I'll give you a little clue. You should go there, nothingbutthetruth.org, and take a look at it. 28 minutes long. Because the scripture says the tongue can nobody tame. It can't tame it. But if the heart's changed, if the heart catches the logic of God, the logic of love, then the tongue doesn't have to be tamed because what comes out of it is really going to be good stuff. This scripture goes on to say, with our tongues we bless God. And we curse men, which are made after the symbol. Remember, God made man in his own image. Okay? And there's something wrong with this picture. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing, my brothers. This thing ought not to be so, ought not to be like that. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? Can't be done. Because see, whatever's inside is going to come out. Bitter here, bitter here. Love here and love here, love's going to come out here. Can the fig tree bear olive berries? Can a vine of figs? Can the fountain? No, it can't. No fountain can both have salt water and fresh water coming out of it at the same time. So here's the problem. Is that the tongue and our speaking to others must become governed. And that government is what we call the logic of God, the logic of love. I'm going to show you three more verses to conclude this. And what we're going to do going forward, by the way, is we're going to proceed to show the logic of love, not just about how it affects our speech. How does it affect your enemies? Can you imagine, love your enemies. How can love, what's that going to do? What's the logic behind such an instruction from God? When God says, if your enemy's hungry, give him something to eat. Where's the logic of that? You see, most of us are still operating on a system other than the logic of love. But when we get this straight, that the logic of God is in fact the logic of love, and we switch, you have to switch, everything changes. Now, what's the scripture? A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes. I mean, he can aggravate you and... A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are a snare to his own soul. Why? Because he doesn't understand love, doesn't get the logic of love, has no reason why he should change the way he speaks. A fool's lips enter into contention. Not very logical, not very smart. His mouth calls for strokes, like somebody wants to slap him back. A fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are a snare to his mind, his emotions. No logic in it. In contrast with this, I want to close with one simple verse from famous chapter of the Bible, number 31. It's the story of the virtuous woman. She obviously had learned the logic of God and the logic of love. And this is what it says about her. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And watch this. And in her tongue is the law. Kindness. No wonder she had companies under her fingers. She was a CEO of several. No wonder she was known in the political realm. No wonder she's been lauded for centuries, because she got the logic of love. And in her tongue was the law of kindness. Now what I want to do is I want you to know that what we're going to do in the next few times we get together is we're going to talk about the logic of love. What is the logic of love in a marriage? The love. What's the logic of love with enemies? What's the logic of love? Today we just talked about speaking to others, but there's so much more. Because if we can just understand the logic of love, it will change everybody.
Do you ever wonder how to handle that difficult person in your life? David L. Johnston has a free ebook just for you, How to Handle Difficult People. Get the free ebook today by going to nothingbutthetruth.org/difficult.